Like, I can't even play video games anymore. I'm just like, I get bored. Like 15, 20 minutes in, I can't. All my activities are have something to do with being moving.
Being active.
Yeah.
It's Evie here. Welcome to EML Radio, where we are always talking truth. All of those things you need to hear that nobody else is willing to say.
This episode is brought to you by Kopow. Brighter food, brighter life. At Kopow, we allow you to treat yourself to not cooking. Incredibly colorful, powerful meals delivered directly to you that taste like you're dining out, but at home. At Kopow, we believe that colors taste better. We only use fresh, seasonal, colorful ingredients packed with all the good stuff, so boring beige foods need not apply. It's nutrition that you can actually see. Nature provides incredible ingredients year-round, so if it's not in season, you're not going to find it in our food. So look, diets don't work. Food you want to eat does. Kopow meals are perfectly balanced, craveably good, and help you eat right without you even knowing it. So whether you are looking to take a break from cooking just a few times per week, need business or lunchtime meals, or you're a busy family who needs a combination of meals for parents and kids, Kopow has the perfect weekly meal plan for you. So just visit kopow.com, that's kopow.com, and input your zip code to find out if Kopow meals are delivered in your area. Kopow, brighter food, brighter life.
Hello, truth seekers. Today's episode of EML Radio is sponsored by Strong Start. Strong Start is a new 90-day program designed to give you the opportunity through a structured program to start living your most fulfilling life. When it comes to eating, moving, and living, there are three critical things to develop in order for you to have lasting success. And those are self-discipline, knowledge, and accountability. So after devoting over a decade of my life to coaching in nutrition and fitness and mindset, I found myself losing accountability and self-discipline. Now I know exactly what it takes to create a fit body and a mind and a spirit to live to my highest potential. But over the last year, I felt myself just slipping, which is why I decided to develop the Strong Start program. Strong Start gives you absolutely everything you need to bring order back to your life, especially in a time of great chaos like we're in right now. It's designed over a 90-day period with three 30-day phases. So phase one is designed for you to really hone in on developing self-discipline. And then phase two allows you to start using that newfound discipline to incorporate more choices into your eating and into your movement. And then phase three, man, that gives you the runway that you need to put all the newfound discipline and knowledge into place so you can sustain this progress for the rest of your life. So Strong Start works by providing you a complete program guide with exercises for absolutely every fitness level, so that you know that what you're actually doing is going to produce the greatest results. And it keeps you moving in a way that is safe and that's functional for your lifestyle. It also gives you the mindset exercises to ensure that you're shifting your mind into seeking the most from yourself every single day. Because all of the exercises and all of the nutrition advice in the world won't help unless you work on building that mental toughness first. It also provides you a hard-bound mindset and accountability journal so that you are writing down and tracking your progress every single day for those 90 days. And then lastly, the Strong Start Nutrition Guide uses my Colors Not Calories method in order to teach you how to eat so that you will never have to go on a diet again. Listen, Strong Start is changing my life and it is changing the lives of countless others. And it will undoubtedly change yours too. So head on over to evifats.com and learn more about Strong Start. Just remember, it is never to have you here today. Too late yeah, to thanks. Seek you, out and create a better you.
When you messaged me and said that you were in town, I was like, oh, good, because I had seen that
to start.
You posted that you were finally a veteran.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finally got it.
So everybody listening in, this is my good friend, Matthew Farina. When did we meet? How old were you? He's a grown man now.
I was a freshman. So what, at 14?
Like 14, yep. Yeah. About what Scarlett's age.
Yeah, 8 years ago.
Yeah. Came into my gym for a kids class. Came into our CrossFit.
Yeah.
For the, was it kids camp? No, is that how you started? Was it kids camp or was it our kids program?
It was for baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was your coach that had you guys all coming in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He did like a winter workout at the gym like twice a week. And that was, you know, the first time I ever really worked out. And then once I was over, I talked to what I forget who you had coaching there at the time. And he said that you guys did do a kids camp during the summer. So yeah. Once that school year was up, I came back.
And you got to paint a picture for everybody because like for one, I just wanted to be able to have a conversation with you today because I've missed you and like, I'm super excited to visit with you, mm-hmm. but I also wanted to be able to like share just what an awesome transformation you made in your life, mm-hmm. truly like because of fitness.
Yeah, definitely. Right?
Yeah. So when you came in, you were a chubby kid.
Yeah. I think I was 230 in middle school. So either 7th or 8th grade. I was, you know, way shorter, probably 5 foot.
Yeah.
And, you know, never worked out. Like I played baseball. That was the only activity I had, which, you know, like I wasn't very good at it. And then every time the season came, I was just so worked, you know, anytime, any little running or whatever, just smoked.
Yep.
So yeah, that was cool. Going into the CrossFit gym and doing that. Cause one, that was when CrossFit was kind of coming up and
that was a long time ago because what, how old are you now?
22.
Oh, okay, so that was, you know what, 6, 7, 8 years ago. Yeah. I mean, so CrossFit just wasn't what it is now.
Yeah, right? And I heard like my parents' friends were doing it, like, oh, it's crazy, like it's super hard, blah blah, and so I just showed up. This is gonna suck, you know, but the whole reason I wasn't there because I wanted to work out. I was there because I wanted to make the team, and I knew I sucked at baseball, so I just like anytime, like any open, you know, they had the, you go to the batting cage and hit, uh-huh. or then they had those. Well, I guess I got to show up to everything. So,
that's, did you end up playing?
Yeah.
All through high school?
Just freshman year.
Oh, okay.
So that's why, cause freshman year, you know, I just kind of worked my heart. I was there, everything. And then like, I wasn't very good, but they saw me and all the coaches really liked me. So mm-hmm. they put me on team. I ended up doing pretty good, awesome. At least hitting wise. And then, the next year, you know, I started doing the kids stuff.
Yep.
And then just my heart wasn't as in it. And plus I really liked being at the gym. So I was like, well, I was, you know, not going to play baseball. I'll just keep going to the gym. So.
Well, and when you say that your coaches like saw you and saw the heart and soul that you were putting into things like that, that's exactly when you started going to, it was after the baseball thing was over. Mm-hmm. And during all that baseball training, I can remember it's like, because boys that age are little and wiry, and there was all these kids that were like basically like little monkeys. They'd just be able to get all over the bars and do pull-ups and like rope climbs and all this kind of stuff, and you were just a bigger kid, right? You're like, okay, like Matt's not gonna do that. And I could see it, and it was Patrick that was coaching at the time.
Mm.
Yep. Okay. Because I can remember having the conversation with Patrick. I was like, that kid is a total gem.
Yeah.
And you need to do stuff that's gonna like help light him up and not defeat him every single day he comes in here, right? Because I think that's so important too, not just with kids, but like with everybody, right? Is that the maximum growth you're going to help someone achieve in their life is the perfect balance between support and challenge, right? So it was like, we challenged the heck out of you, but I was like, you got to support him. So I was like, do things, I mean, because you were big, right? Yeah. So you had a lot of weight behind you that you could lift heavy shit. Do you remember doing tire flips and stuff? And like the hammers on the tires. I was like, when Matthew is here, that's the kind of stuff you need to do, because that's going to totally inspire him and light him up to let him know that like, man, it's not all about just like being able to climb a rope and swing off the bars. And like, there's heavy, good stuff that he can totally crush. And all the rest of these little buggers are like not going to be able to keep up.
Yeah, definitely.
And very cool.
Yeah. So that's definitely what I remember from like that. Because especially with baseball, it's all like running, and running was not my thing, you know.
But then, dude, I hear you.
Yeah, that's why I went, that's why I like going to the gym, because yeah, we were doing like all that stuff. So, mm-hmm. And then like squatting and deadlifting was cool. So
good.
Yeah.
And then you stayed on with us for pretty much until you left.
Yeah.
For the military, right?
Yeah. So, because you guys, it was still the kids camp, and then eventually, kind of wanted a little bit more. I remember Zach was there.
Yep. Yep.
And then so that's probably like a year or two, or probably 2 years in. And then he started coaching for me. And that's when I kind of fell off for a little bit there. That was just, you know, me doing different stuff, or like, you know, I started working a full-time job. I think I was 16 at the time.
Yeah.
I remember there was like a 3-week span. I didn't understand what coaching or anything. Like, I didn't realize he wrote all this stuff out for me. And so I was just like a 3-week span. I didn't want to get up in the morning and just, I remember I was doing sleds, and I was like, oh, screw this, you know, and I was like, why am I doing this? And I took like 3 weeks off, and I was like, wow, yeah, like I kind of miss being in the gym. And I went back, and then I think that was right when you guys started doing the switch from CrossFit to like individual design.
Yep.
And then that was right about the same time too. You guys moved locations.
Yep.
And then, yeah, from there, I just stayed ever since.
Well, and did you have to pay for that? On your own?
My parents were at first, and then once I got a job, but then I think you guys also gave me like a price break.
I just want people to realize too, it's like the dedication that you had, right? Because I can remember, I don't know if you remember this conversation, but way back, maybe it was even when you graduated, where you were like, if it wasn't for getting in the gym and starting to like move my body and have to be disciplined and show up, like you just said, when you don't want to, and taking 3 weeks off, you're like, I don't know what I would have done.
Yeah.
Like play video games and hung out, right?
Yeah, it's like exactly
where fitness like gave you that whole entire direction for your life.
Yeah. 100%. Because if I never got into that, literally don't know what I would have done. Cause all my interests, even in high school, and all my interests were like being outside and just doing active things, you know, and then I don't know, because nothing, and it's funny now, because nothing, like I can't even play video games anymore. I'm just like, I get bored like 15-20 minutes in. I can't, all my activities have something to do with being
active.
Yeah.
Right. And it wasn't the case before you just got in there in the gym.
No.
Right. When we'll put this recording on YouTube too.
Yeah.
And we'll pop in some of the pictures, because I've got pictures of you, because I, well, let's fast forward. So you ended up, tell us about what you did after high school.
So I was coming in as my senior year. And my brother, he went and joined the Marine Corps. And then, you know, we always kind of grew up, my dad, you know, we're all families like interested in military stuff.
Yeah.
And then,
and just so people know, just a second, that Matthew's dad is Paul Farina, who I've had on the podcast as well, with Lonnie. We did the child sex trafficking. We did part one. We still have two more recordings to do together. Yeah. But your family is a phenomenal family. Like I just love your family. Like great parents, really just dedicated and do a lot for the world, right? Like your dad does a job that not very many people would want to have to take on, right? Like the sex trafficking and stuff for the state of Idaho. And I don't know what his official position is. Like it's a...
like works at ICAC.
Yeah.
Internet Crimes Against Children. So, yeah.
Hard stuff, right? Yeah. And you guys get a lot of that discipline and dedication stuff from them. You've got great parents.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So anyway, senior year and you decided...
Yeah, so I saw Nick do it, and then I was kind of... I remember I was at the gym doing burpees or something. And I was watching boot camp videos like, haha, that sucks for Nick, you know?
Because how much older is he than you?
He's 2 years, but okay. He got held back like when he was in elementary school. So he's like a year ahead in school.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, we were watching those videos and I was like, man, who'd want to be getting yelled at and working out? And I was doing burpees. I was like, oh, it'd be kind of fun. And I started looking into it more, and I was like, well, be a good experience, you know, get in, you know, from the beginning, I knew I was going to get out, but I just wanted like a good experience and, you know, kind of do my part for a little bit. So, it was December. So when I really, really started in the gym was when I got with Dan, and that's when he started doing like the full nutrition and everything. Like, that's when I really started like learning stuff.
And really being dedicated to your diet and stuff too. Because before you enjoyed the working out part of it, but like the food, it was like, plus you're young.
Yeah.
So we're like, we're not really imposing a whole lot of nutrition stuff on young people. But exactly. You were kind of at the point where you were like, okay, if I'm going to get to the next level, I need to clean up my diet.
Yeah, exactly. So I started after Nick's boot camp graduation, because I had like a little injury, I came back and that's when I started. So it was probably October to December. I lost, like, I think I was at like 220, 215. I got down at like 200. I went to the recruiters. And then that was like a good weight. I couldn't ship at that weight, but that was the weight I could like sign up. So I signed up.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. Cause you had to get to a certain weight before they would let you ship out, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember that now.
Yeah. So at December time, and is when Nick is a little funny thing. I know my parents like talk about it. So, cause Nick came home for Christmas, he was like in training. And they let him come home, but you got to work for the recruiter. Oh. And so they had a little deal. Hey, if you get somebody, then you don't have to come in anymore. And then so Nick, first day, I was like, the funny thing is I never told my parents I was even remotely interested. It was like everybody at the gym knew. Like my coach,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, I didn't tell them. So they had no idea. And so I go to Nick. Nick knew. And I was like, hey, whatever. I went and signed up, pretty much did the part until I needed my parent signature because I was still 17. So like, all right, yeah, Nick, you're good. And I just told him I was going to go work out a little bit early before work. So then I went to the recruiters, got done, went off to work. But Nick came home. They're like, oh, like, what are you doing home early? He's like, oh, I got somebody sign up. Like, who? Like, Matthew.
You guys are total shits to do that to your parents.
Yeah. It made sense at the time.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so that was funny.
Hilarious.
Yeah, so that's how that whole thing went down. And then from there, December, I ended up shipping in like September. So over that next year, I got down, I had to get down to like 185.
Yeah, you didn't even look like the same person.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, I got pretty lean then.
Yeah.
So I think I still have like all my body scans.
Oh, you do?
The first body scan, which I was probably heavier before that, but even like before I started working. But I was at 32%. And then when I left, I was at 18.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was, I think I was sitting at like 182, 183.
I mean, people don't realize like that takes a lot of dedication. I mean, to go from 32% body fat to 18, it's like, that's hard work.
Yeah, that year, it was good, but I just, with the whole diet and everything, that was hard, especially getting like in the later months, you've been dieting or like, you know, in a deficit for 7, 8, 9 months. You're just like, oh.
And we tracked all your macros and stuff then, like, cause that's what we did for people, right? And like, I mean, obviously I don't recommend that to just everyday people.
Yeah.
And you can probably even speak to that being young. Like,
yeah, it's hard.
Right? It's hard. And if you didn't have a very specific goal, like, I mean, you needed to lose weight because you needed to be able to ship out for the Marines, right? But like, if you're just an everyday person that's wanting to be healthy, counting and weighing and measuring all your food, it'll crush your soul.
Yeah, for sure. And then it's like later, you know, going down the road, it was hard to like revert off of not tracking.
I know.
Now I'm in a pretty good spot where like I can eyeball things. Maybe I'll, you know, every couple of weeks, I might just track what a normal day looks like, just see where I'm at, get an idea.
Because it's easy to kind of deviate off of it and then go, oh, like I didn't quite realize that I'm actually eating way too many carbs or way too much fat.
And so it used to stress me out, but now I'm at a good spot where like I have that ability if I need to. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes, you know, I do, but other times like I have a pretty good idea. That's the best thing you get from it, is just, you can like look at something and kind of have an idea of like maybe the number behind it or like what you're actually eating.
Oh, totally. The learning behind that is really, especially as early on in life as you learned it.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's a skill and a gift that you'll have forever.
Yeah, definitely.
Because like not having to struggle with your weight, it's like, that's huge.
Yeah. Just control.
Yep.
So, but yeah. And then.
You shipped out. Where'd you ship out to?
I went to San Diego for boot camp. And then 3 months later, I saw you. You came out for graduation.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was
Your dad had gotten a hold of me and was just like, I think it was your dad, and just said, you know, Matthew's going to graduate. And I was like, we'll be there.
Yeah.
Truly, because we just wanted to be there. That's a big deal, right? Yeah, like just knowing you from the time you were 14, this like chubby kid who came in. It was just like, wasn't necessarily naturally athletic or anything else. And it's like to see your transformation and all the hard work. And then to go, I mean, are you kidding me? Then to graduate.
Yeah.
Like that was a pretty awesome day.
Yeah.
So we got to surprise you.
For sure. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah. So that was great. Awesome. Me and Casey and Scarlett came down.
Yeah.
Celebrated with your family.
Yep. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was right before Christmas too.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was huge. Was home for a little bit.
Do you remember, you, I think it was when we were at lunch that day that you were talking about, like, is it Hell Week? Is that what you call it? You kind of have to like, what's the,
oh, the crucible?
Yeah. Like the last thing that you do, like when you, I don't know if you've been up all night. Do you remember the story? And like when the sun was coming up and you were like, wow. Like this was all, it's not as hard as you think. It's not as all worth it. Like when you're able like to sit there and soak it all in.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. I remember that day. Cause you do that final hike. And then you go up the Reaper and you get you globe an anchor and you become a Marine. But I remember I was so internal, like that hike is dark and everything. And I was just hating life. Like the hike down there. And then once the sun started coming up and you go up the hill, like instant, like energy and just feel good. Yeah. And like, That's a good time. I think everybody feels that. So just a burst of energy and just happy and wow, like that was awesome.
And like look what you accomplished.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So
it's cool stuff. So then what happened from there?
I came home for Christmas for a couple of weeks. You got like an extra week or two. And working at the recruiter, you know, like my brother was. Just because it was around Christmas time, so they didn't want to flood like the schools. They didn't want everybody going back at the same time.
Oh, gotcha.
And then I went back to Pendleton for it's MCT, Marine Combat Training. Just for everybody we do, it's like 3 or 4 weeks of like basic infantry tactic. And then from there, it's my MOS, I was an artillery guy. So from there, I went to Fort Sill, Oklahoma. And then I was there for quite a while. The school was a little backed up. And then my primary MOS, my job was a cannoneer. It was like 0811. You shoot the M777 howitzers. So you go to school for that. And then at the end, they pick a certain amount of people to go. They're called HIMARS. They're these like rocket trucks. So they pick a certain amount of the group. Just, it's kind of random. Our class, they kind of did it off GPA and like who didn't fail anything. And then it was a week long school for that. And then the only place that they have that is in Pendleton. So I got orders to Pendleton from there. And then I was there the last 3 years. So on working on, rocket trucks and shooting those. So a lot of fun.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of fun.
So you just got done, right? You just fulfilled your whole requirement. What was the whole time frame from start to finish?
It was 4 years. I got out a little early because if you save up your leave, because with COVID and stuff, and I just didn't take that much leave. So I use it all on the back end pretty much to get out early.
Oh, okay.
So that's where I'm sitting at right now. So like September 24th will be like 4 years for me. And then you got to do 4 years inactive reserves. It's not, I don't have to show up anywhere. It's just updating your address. They need to call you back for like whatever, then they can call you back. But yeah.
So out of all of that, I mean, 4 years is a long time, but like, what were like your biggest takeaways from it?
I think just,
I mean, because that's just got to be hard.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah. And I think it's all just kind of attitude too. Because I remember seeing it from like an outside perspective. Once you get in it, you know, everybody, oh, it's not, you know, it's nothing, blah, blah, blah. But you know, you kind of take, you make it sound easier than it was, or you just, you know, because everybody's there. So nobody wants to be a guy like, oh, that was hard, you know?
Right.
So, but I guess the biggest thing is attitude, you know, just keeping a good attitude. And, you know, the best part is just meeting the people, like the people are awesome and like the relationships you make. And just being, you know, just being a good dude. That's like the biggest thing.
And around other people that are equally disciplined.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, and it's not easy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, I'd say that's just being a good dude.
So do you have any opinions on like kind of all this, like everybody kind of hating our country after being in the military?
I mean, people do what they want. Yeah, that's the whole thing. You can do what you want. That's the greatest part is.
Yeah.
You could hate this country and still live in it, and whatever.
And people like you will always defend it, right?
So there's always gonna be people like that. Do what you want, just as long as it doesn't affect me. And then my whole biggest thing too is, it's not as you go on the internet or whatever. It's all the whole world's burning down, but you just talk to people. Lived in Southern California for the last 3 years, and you know, people like, oh, you know, there's like a stigmatism down there, I guess, of, you know, whatever. And you just talk to people, and everyone's normal. Nobody's gonna say anything bad to your face, you know, unless you get in like an argument.
I totally agree, which barely happens.
You know, I have so many friends that came from all over the country, you know, Black, Hispanic, whatever. And they're normal. Everyone's just a normal person. Everyone wants to get along.
Yep.
You know,
it's like there's two divergent worlds going on, right? It's like there's actually the real world.
Yeah.
Right. Where people are just really kind to one another.
Exactly.
Right. It's like the vast majority of us just really are like just trying to live a good life.
Yeah.
Right. I meet people that may have something completely polar opposite opinions on everything imaginable, from social issues to politics mm-hmm. to whatever. But everybody still just kind of wants to get along.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like it doesn't matter. But then you go online mm-hmm. and the world is completely different. Right. There's this like fake online world where everybody just hates each other and is volatile with one another. But in actual real physical life, that shit's not going on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's
good to hear you say that. Just because, I mean, you're young and I like to get your perspective from that too.
It's yeah. Like, and I'd say, you know, a lot of the people, a lot of my friends and stuff, we're all in the same boat. Like, we don't care. You know, it, as long as, you know, most people are good people and just yep. want to get along. So
yep.
that's, nobody's taking anything too seriously.
So what's next? Where are you going from here? So you just got done, yeah. literally, like, and this was your trip home after being done, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. Where are you going?
So I'm going to school at Montana State in Bozeman. So I got out, and then I was on the road for like a week. I met up with one of my buddies. We were just kind of camping around, spent some time in Utah, went to Yellowstone, was hanging out in Big Sky, and then, because we couldn't pick up our keys for a little over a week.
Oh.
So we were just killing time, having, you know, enjoying a little road trip and camping. Being homeless. So I picked up my keys on Tuesday, and then kind of set up the apartment, and then came over here. So I still just staying on my little vacation. So came out here, picked up some stuff, said hi to everybody. So sweet. Yeah, so now today, after I get done, I head back to Bozeman, figure out what I gotta do for school. Like what?
So what are you gonna go into?
Kinesiology.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
So, hey, look at that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of funny there. And then, so I just, in Japan, I had started doing, the OPEX, the CCP.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So I just turned in my final project.
Oh, sweet.
Last week.
Awesome. So. You learned so much in there.
Oh yeah. Right? Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's a educational program that I would recommend above anything else out there. Just getting your regular like personal trainer certificate, all this kind of stuff. It doesn't even like touch what you learn through that CCP program.
Yeah, for sure. I knew I wanted it, even, you know, back in high school, I was always bugging Dan, like, why, or uh-huh. whatever. I just thought it was interesting. So then I kept that interest through being in the Marine Corps and everything, just trying out different.
Did you help other guys like with their training or their fitness when you were in there? Because you knew a lot.
Yeah,
because our whole deal was we teach people like how to take care of themselves, not just rely on a coach or a trainer to do everything for you. Like we wanted people to leave and eventually not be clients anymore.
Yeah.
I know that sounds crazy from a business standpoint, but it's like the best coaches out there are going to be people that educate their clients on how to care for themselves.
Yeah.
That eventually they don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
That's like a natural, really healthy progression. Through a coaching relationship.
Yeah, definitely.
Like it comes to an end.
Yeah.
Right. And then you just start with a whole new person or a whole new group of people and do the same process over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which you totally came out the other end of that, right? Yeah. Like now you're going to school for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool.
So, yeah. And
do you have any idea what you want to do with it?
I mean, I really do like that OPEC stuff. I'll tell you, like, I've always wanted to own my own business since, you know, mm-hmm. I started working for somebody.
Yep.
So I do want to own my own gym. What that looks like, you know, we'll see down the road. I really like the OPEC stuff. I really like the individual design.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the direction I'm heading right now. So I do, you know, I do need to get coaching experience and, you know, some time on.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. But down the road, you know, that's why I'm going into kinesiology and I wanted to get my OPEC stuff done and, you know, start that while I'm in school.
Yep.
So, and then right now, because I did that final project, I had to coach some people. So I kept a couple of them on, like my brother and one of my buddies. So I'm still coaching them, which is just, you know, good.
Good Sweet.
To keep doing that, keep getting some experience. So testing things out.
Yep. That's the one thing I will say that I miss since selling the gym is, you know, we have clients and like we now, our app comes out within a couple of weeks from now and doing everything just remotely with people, but not having actual one-on-one clients.
Yeah.
It's been tricky for me to make sure that I keep my skill set where it is, right? Because I might watch people move for 12 years so I watch people when they walk down the street. I can tell you like where their foot is and where their weight is in their foot and that kind of stuff. I haven't lost that, but just the everyday coaching with people, I miss it. It doesn't make sense for me anymore because it's not scalable, right? And we're trying to like build up EML coaches. Like we have Jen and we have Melissa, then we have our Strong Start program. And I'm more focusing on coaching coaches so that it's not just one person. Because I'm one person, how many clients can I have, right?
Yeah.
And do all the other stuff that I'm doing. But if I can build up our coaching team, then it's like me, but then trickle down to, you know, we want to tap out at maybe like four or five coaches and then work with those people one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
But like having clients constantly is just so key to staying on top of your game as a coach.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, talking about like the in-person coaching stuff. I think that's one of the biggest things why I liked it, because, you know, that last summer before I left the gym, I was hanging out at the gym for like 3-4 hours.
Yeah.
I quit my job. I was enjoying my last summer. And I was just talking to people, you know, I was working out for a little bit. And then I just liked the environment and I liked talking to people and just being in there. And then, you know, as I start looking at like the whole coaching route and the different ways that you can go, you know, I'm super fascinated with the science and everything behind it, but also just like talking to people and like having that, you know, and I know there's a lot of people have great remote coaching, you know, it's like, that seems like the way to go. A lot of more people are moving towards that. And that was cool. Me being like last week on the road trip, doing my whole final project. And then I programmed for those two guys. I programmed for them. I was in Jackson Hole, like in the Tetons camping. I just found a Starbucks. I was like, wow, this is nice. You know?
Yep.
But that is one of the biggest factors, is just like that relationship with people and having like a good environment like that.
Oh yeah. I totally agree with you. I mean, remote coaching is like kind of, I don't even know if I would say it's the wave of the future yet. I think people that are in fitness think it is, but then when you go out and deal with just moms and dads and people that don't want to die early from heart disease or anything else, they don't want a remote coach.
Yeah.
They're like, I need someone to help me. They're not there yet. People that are in fitness, it works beautifully for.
Yeah.
But people that are outside of really having a strong interest in fitness, it's not there yet. And I totally agree, because like that probably, I mean, it still pains me to this day to not be like in that environment, music on, like helping someone. I mean, if it's just like a mom that's never lifted weight before, like helping her deadlift 130 pounds and she's like jumping up and down because she feels so empowered, right? Like, I mean, that stuff just lights my soul up.
Yeah,
I totally miss that. But I would say that I can't say that I would never own gyms again. That I may.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we've got our new food company and stuff going now, and I'm always looking to create new things where I would, you know, because we know a hell of a lot about coaching.
Yeah.
Right. And our gym model was pretty damn slick.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Beautiful facility, one-on-one. We're helping you with absolutely everything, but we're not personal training you, so we're not holding your hand.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. That model I truly believe in. So who knows? Maybe someday I'll.
Yeah.
Own gyms again.
Yeah. No, that'd be awesome. So, and I think this, you got it, you know, that's what I like too about that I've noticed just going to different gyms and everything that I liked about I like about yours is all the different people in there. You know, you had like me, a little 16-year-old kid, and I was having conversations with these like 40-year-old parents, and like it was just a good. And then it was everything in between. You know, you had like some really, you know, some really great athletes in there, and then just some people starting out. But everybody got along, like
totally. And you could have people that literally were, you know, 150 pounds overweight.
Yeah,
that typically wouldn't feel comfortable coming into a gym.
Definitely.
That could walk in there, and they knew that everybody was rooting for them.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's how I felt. You know, little 14-year-old me. You know, I was terrified going to a CrossFit gym. People are all really fit people, and
yeah.
Once I got to, you know, it was very soon that I got comfortable with everybody in there. So
yeah,
but yeah,
yeah, and that, having had that experience, like, you know how to create it, and I'm all about like, man, entrepreneurship is hard, but it's so worth it.
Yeah.
Right? And people that are truly dedicated and can, you have those skills now too. You know, I don't even know if you realize it, but the skills of like the discipline that you learned in the military, that's the kind of discipline people have to have when they own a business.
Yeah.
People think they want to get into business for themselves because they're like, oh, I'll have all this flexibility and freedom to do whatever I want. Oh my God. No, you don't. Because if you think you're going to do that, you're going to fail because it takes a routine and a tight schedule and running things super systematically. So between all your fitness knowledge and your personal experience with it, coaching people, and then that discipline and structure and stuff from the military, dude, that's a recipe for huge success.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I hope for.
Exciting. So, totally exciting.
Yeah. So super, super awesome. Excited for the future.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So you'll just be in Bozeman. So you'll be back here plenty.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll be back and forth. So just down the road. Literally,
awesome.
I-90 all the way down. So,
well, you're going to have to come in and see me more often.
Yeah.
I'd love it.
Yeah. So I'll be here.
Awesome. All right. So we'll kind of wrap it up. But I always ask my guests to leave us with one truth that they would share with their audience. Something from your life that's like something that's held true, something that's gotten you through that you would want to pass on to everybody else. And I don't tell you that ahead of time because I don't want it to be a canned response. So I just want you to like whatever comes to mind.
Yeah, that's a good one. Probably, you know, kind of along the same lines what we were talking about earlier. Everybody wants to get along. I think as long as you just talk to people, that's something I've found, you know, in the military. There's some stuff you just kind of got to go out of your way and like figure out for yourself and just talk to different people. Like they may, you know, you don't know the answer, but you got to go find it. It's the same thing I found with college, and then just walking around Bozeman, there's so many people, like little business owners and different people are at the gym that I just started talking to. And I feel like that doesn't happen anymore. In California, it's horrible. You know, you can't even look at somebody in the eyes when you're passing them in the street.
Because of COVID stuff?
No, just,
or just normal. In general.
Just in general. Like nobody wants to talk. Nobody has a conversation. And then when I get up, and growing up here, you know, you walk into a store or somebody is somewhere, you're probably going to have a conversation with somebody. Oh, hey, how's it going? Yeah. And so that's something that I think as long as people just start talking to each other a little more, that's, that'll help out a lot and help people out. You know, if you want something or you're trying to do something, like good luck doing it without going and having 50 million conversations.
Totally.
So
yeah,
that's my thing. Just talk to people.
Oh, I love it. And I totally couldn't agree more. That's like the show is doing really, really well. Like we're in the top 1% downloaded on Apple Podcasts. Like we're crushing it. And it's because people want to hear people having conversations.
Yeah, for sure.
Really just open, authentic conversations. We don't have to agree on everything, right? It's like it doesn't matter, but just being able to hear people's stories.
Yeah.
And stop the dehumanizing of one another, right?
Definitely.
It's like hear real people's conversations, listen, and we all, and this is like one of the, I'm really into Jordan Peterson books right now, and his 12 Rules for Life, one of them is always assume that the person sitting across from you knows something that you do not.
That's a good one.
That is so good. Like I think I, like sometimes I'm frazzled and in a hurry or like frustrated with people. It's like the barista's not moving fast enough for my coffee. And then I have to check myself and go like, I promise you this 20-year-old girl knows something that I don't know.
Yeah.
And just keeping that in the back of your mind, like keeps you for one more patient and more tolerant of people. Right. And it just helps you keep life in perspective. It's like, you don't know everything. And like you said, if you have conversations with people, you start realizing so much of what you don't know.
Definitely. Definitely. Awesome. And then doors open too. You never know. You never know who you're going to meet. So.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so many things in my life where it's just like even suppliers for like our new food company came from sitting at a bar, having dinner, talking to someone next to me that was also traveling for business. And all of a sudden, what do you know? Like they're doing our insulators for our shipping boxes. It's like, you know, if you're out there talking to people, like stuff, you really draw in good energy when you're putting good energy out there and open with people and willing to have conversations.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Well, this was fun.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You got it. Thanks, Matt.